B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Number three, Adam Jones, Christian Arkin in for Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-0985. We'll, of course, get to the latest on Stephon Gilmore as well. I did like this tweet, though, from the governor on Twitter, at AdamJones985, at Christian Arkin. Jorts, my number 53, Chris Slade blue Patriots jersey.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
A backward snapback logo athletic shark tooth Patriots hat? What does that mean now? Oh, with like the zigzag on
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A shark tooth backwards logo athletic Patriots hat and the fanny pack.
Yeah, that with the zigzag on the brim?
Yeah. Okay, I know what he, as I was questioning it, I understood what he meant there.
It's like a little piece of Zubaz pants on your hat.
Right.
What it looks like.
Right. Like a tastefully done Zuba on your hat.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, Zubaz, outside of Bills fans, aren't totally back yet. I don't want to say everything's cyclical in the fashion industry. I don't want to say they
I'm
won't come back.
Surprised Jorts made a comeback before Zuba.
But right now, like a fashionable amount of Zuba on your hat. Yes, a shark tooth. That's a good way of putting it.
Right.
The look for the home opener, the governor says. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a bunch of tweets, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin in a Patriots jersey with his jeans. Somebody made a good point. Maybe JNCO jeans will make a comeback next. That was Bill. Wake me up when fanny packs and JNCO jeans are back.
I had JNCO jeans in high school.
I never had JNCO jeans.
I thought I was cool enough to wear them, and I wasn't.
Well, that's the thing. I was a little too afraid to go there, but I knew they were cool, and I was like sneaky, very jealous, and like secretly very jealous of everybody running around in their, you know, taking up the whole hallway in their JNCO jeans. Like, I was very, very jealous, and I badly wanted to do it, but I just said, you know what, Jones, you can't pull it off. You can't pull those off. You're not cool enough to pull off the
JNCOs. I didn't have that same self-awareness. I tried. I convinced my mother to buy me some JNCO jeans, and I have some pictures where I look like MC Hammer. Like, it's terrible. It was a terrible, terrible decision on my part.
But like a jean MC. Yeah, because they're not Hammer pants.
They're the size of Hammer pants.
Oh, they're the size of Hammer pants, sure.
Right. Look like a genie.
They really more flare out. And, you know, they're typically denim, I think. I don't remember any, they're JNCO jeans.
Right.
I don't remember any JNCO that was like a sweatpant.
Has anyone ever made JNCO jorts?
I think that'd just be a skirt.
You're kind of right.
I think if you did like a, right. I think. I don't know. I don't quite know all the dynamics of JNCO jeans, but I think you'd be, a lot would be flopping around there. Mm. A lot would be flopping around.
Well, in my case, not that much, but yeah.
I mean, something. It's there. Don't pretend like you don't notice it. anyway, 617-779-0985. So I'm happy to pass. It seems like Patriots fans are quite excited about that. I thought they would be. So that's good to know. Josh Fowler on the television side is weighing in. He claims he had multiple pairs of JNCO shorts.
JNCO did make shorts.
Apparently.
Okay. Mini skirts, if you will.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I don't quite understand how that all went together.
Interesting.
You got to get pretty handy with the scissors, I would think. But okay,
did he buy jeans and then he made them into shorts, or he bought them as shorts?
It's a good question. I'm going to have to wait on that answer.
Okay.
From Josh, but yes, he does claim he had multiple pairs of JNCO shorts. See, I just think I had another great free idea. I had a great idea for Subway, which we'll get to here coming up. But JNCO sweatpants. I just stumbled on that.
Fowler says you could buy them as shorts.
Okay. JNCO sweatpants, though. Huh? Everybody wants comfort.
Yeah.
Everybody want to rock some JNCO sweatpants. Get back into the pant game. Sweatpants. A little less formal. A little more comfortable.
Right. Oversized was big back then. Remember, like, in the early 2000s, LeBron and Carmelo.
It's coming back. Look at the kids.
Go to the draft with these giant suits on.
Look at the kids.
Yeah.
Big and baggy is coming back.
It's true.
Which I can get behind. The older I get, you know, the more my problem areas are showing. I can get behind that. Yeah, I'll get behind some baggier clothes. Got to wait for the kids to really let it trickle up. I'll be wearing Crocs and a fanny pack and jorts now when it's too late. They'll all be moving on to the next thing.
Well, Lululemon would be loose on you.
Yes. 617-779-0985. So I want to seamlessly get back from Patriots fans to this Patriots team. And I want to get into two problems that Bill Belichick has wrought. I mean, two problems that are directly traced back to Bill Belichick. Number one is this Stephon Gilmore holdout, which we all know has been going on. And I think a lot of us came to realize dates back to last year. I'm not sure Gilmore was showing up week one last season without the advancement that he got on his salary, mm-hmm. which is what he was given. He was not given an incentive last season. He was not really even given a pay increase. He was given an advancement. It was taken out of this year, the 2021 salary, and accelerated onto the 2020 salary, right? So Gilmore said, great, I'll take that money, pop that in, and now I'm only making $7 million this year. I know you advanced me that money last year, but now I'm only making $7 million. I'm outside the top 10 defensive backs. He quote tweeted that CBS Sportsline tweet yesterday, ranking the top 10 D-backs, and he said, what was it again? Oh, my?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Oh, okay. And he's outside the top 10.
Like when you tell your girlfriend or your wife that you're staying home and then she sees a picture of you out with your friend. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
Got it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'll file that one away.
Right.
And so, you know, how it went last year, I guess that's my real point. How it went last year with Gilmore is exactly what Belichick wants. Maybe there were some reports about it. Maybe it was discussed on talk radio, but no one really knows the truth because Bill ain't talking about it.
Right.
And the player didn't say anything about it. In this case, Stephon Gilmore. So that's how Bill likes it. I think he can tolerate Karen Garigian or Mike Reese or Phil Perry or Tom Curran or Jeff Howe or whomever reporting on things where an agent is willing to talk off the record or a family member or a friend or what have you. Maybe the team is willing to talk off the record. Although, in a holdout, I'm not sure they'd be doing a lot of that, at least from the player's standpoint. So I think Bill can tolerate that. I think he knows some of that's going to happen. He can't control that. He, in his mind, can control these players talking on the record, which would be like in a media interview or, you know, any kind of dumb TikTok, Instagram post, or in this case, even just a quick quote tweet on social media. Mm-hmm. Like Gilmore can be very cryptic. Unless I am asking him questions, and then he lets me know very clearly how he feels when he flushes the toilet right in my face. He can be very cryptic. This was not cryptic. This was as clear as the toilet flush heard around the world. Clear as a bell, clear as day. Gilmore ain't happy, and now he's putting his name to it. And fans can say, well, we all knew about it. Duh, we all knew about it. Now he's putting his name to it, and that's where I think Bill has a problem with it. It seems like this year there's been a lot of flags thrown on you this year. There were. I mean, it's a good question. There were a lot of flags thrown on you there, Steph. I didn't just maybe a courtesy flush and a spray would be great. But yeah, again, nothing left to, just like that interview there, Arcan, nothing left to, you know, the theater of the mind, as Sarge likes to put it. You know exactly what's going on. You know, the man is going to the bathroom. It's just a question of if it was number one or number two.
Right.
Same thing with this.
Post, is there a question? Though?
Post on social media.
Talking to you.
Yeah, it's a good point. It was a number two. It seems like this year there's been a lot of flags thrown on you this year. Again, that is a
flag.
That is a powerhouse big man's toilet. Is what the Patriots.
None of you guys noticed
he
was grunting throughout the whole interview.
I just thought he was a little cross with me. But anyway, that's where I think Bill has a problem with it. A player now putting their name to it, and now there's no more gray area. There's no more question.
Right. And that's, I think, what happens when you give away all your leverage. When you give away all your leverage, then your players can do things like this. And this is new for Bill Belichick. I mean, it's very rare that you've seen a player come out and do something like that and then not been immediately cut or something along those lines right afterwards, or the holdout continues or something. And Mike Reese over the weekend had his to-do list for the Patriots. And number two on the to-do list was Stephon Gilmore. And Reese made it seem like...
Number two.
Reese made it seem like everything's fine. He was like, it's not contentious. He's in town. They're going to get it done. Now's the time to work on it, but everything's cool. Don't worry about it. It's a holdout. Of course it's contentious. What are you talking about? And Reese, I mean, he gets it from the Patriots. So this is their word. As far as I'm concerned, when I read Reese, I assume he's speaking for the organization, because usually he is. If they don't think it's contentious and Gilmore's tweeting out these passive aggressive lists, like here's the top 10 and I'm not on it. Oh, okay. How is that not contentious? That's the definition of contentious. You want him out there. He's not out there. He's holding out for more money. You're not giving it to him. Contentious. That's contentious.
Right.
What are we talking about
Very
here?
Very basic disagreement. And I agree. I think Bill let Gilmore know who has the leverage when Bill made excuses for him at mandatory minicamp a couple of weeks back. Steph here? I don't know. Is Steph here? I haven't taken attendance yet today. Gee, where could he be? I have no idea. I'll let you know later in the week. And oh, by the way, just because players aren't here, maybe they had air trouble. You know, fly. Maybe there was something weird going on with the flights. Like, all those excuses he made it clear as day. Who holds the leverage? And Gilmore has them by the balls. He needs to be out there this year.
Yep.
He knows it. They know it. So going to social media in this case is Bill's fault. I mean, Bill set this one up. And, he also set up any mocking from Tom Brady, any victory laps that Tom Brady's been taking. And Brady ratcheted it up a few notches, by about a foot, I'd say. Let's get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa. Bill Belichick? Really? You're right. I should get a delicious footlong from Subway. That would be better.
Yeah. Now you look better, too.
Thank you.
Now, I haven't seen that commercial for some time. What did Bill do? He put him in a pair of jean shorts? What did he do there? I forget.
No, he cut off the sleeves.
Cut off the sleeves, but he should have done the pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the minute already. Version.
That's in the longer version. Somewhere Dave O'Brien's like, ooh, yeah.
Nasty.
Cut those pants. But okay. So that's Bill Belichick. Right, he cut the sleeves off. Duh, Jones. I forgot. They're running it for us here in studio. I don't know if that's going out over NBC Sports Boston and all across the country. And it's Adam Jones, Christian Arkham with you here on Zolak and Bertrand. Right, chops the sleeves off. Stupid Jones. But it should be if you're going to be fashionable, the pants. But so why are we playing a Bill Belichick Subway commercial? Makes no sense. Why would we do that? Mike Florio last night. With the big reveal, I guess it's via the Sports Business Journal. I should give them credit. But Florio's where everyone, the sports talk world, I would say, picked it up. I don't peruse the Sports Business Journal enough, I guess. Maybe I should go there more often. But Florio writes, Tom Brady has a notoriously strict diet. Tom Brady nevertheless will endorse Subway, one of the most prevalent fast food purveyors in the nation. Terry Lefton of the Sports Business Journal reports that Brady has never even entered a Subway, which is wrong. That's been disproved. I guess Brady, in an interview with Dax Shepard, actually told him that, yes, in college, what did you say, Arkan? He
experimented a bit with the meatballs,
As we all do.
Right.
You know, you're a little drunk, it's late. Hey, he experimented with a meatball sub. Maybe a little provolone.
Yeah, it's late, Subway's open.
Look, I don't want to talk about it, but yeah, okay. I mean, you know, if you're gonna really hold it to me, then yeah, okay, fine. I experimented a little bit with Subway in college.
You swore your sandwich artist to secrecy. Never speak of this again. It's between you and me. No one else can know.
Extra marinara, okay? Extra marinara.
Then at your wedding, the sandwich artist gets up and goes, I object to this! This is a farce! I know the real you!
I know the real you. How dare you. Brady's TV ad, which will debut later this month, also reportedly will not show Brady holding Subway products. Holding. So, I mean, there's no way he's going to be eating the thing, right? Not, he won't hold the product. Whereas, again, I said this earlier, but Bill Belichick was like, I'll hold it. I'll eat it. I'll sink my teeth into it. I'll roll my eyes back like a shark. I mean, Bill had no problem debasing himself in that Subway commercial. Like, Bill was all over that thing, fondling the crap out of that Subway sub.
I wear that sandwich like a helmet.
Brady, no interest. Zero interest in going anywhere near the product, which is, of course, you know, I would say hypocritical from Brady, and Florio does a good job pointing that out. Brady's strict diet, You know, as he writes, not many people will buy the link between Brady and Subway. He goes on and on and on and like multiple posts on Pro Football Talk. And I want to say to Mike Florio, you've done the basic surface level analysis, like gold star for you. The real story here is not Brady being contradictory or hypocritical about his diet. It's that Brady wants to stick it to Bill so badly and give Bill Belichick a giant foot-long middle finger so badly that he'll do that, meaning compromise his diet and everything else just to stick it to Bill. That's the whole... So anyone who thinks we overrate on sports talk radio the dynamic of the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, like, all you need to know is that Tom Brady Sr. is still mocking the Patriots organization and Bill Belichick from afar right here on this very radio station, this very time slot with Zoe and Beadle. All you need to know is that Brady goes on The Shop on HBO right. last Friday night, or was it the week before? I forget now. It's all running together.
Last week.
Mocking the entire league, Patriots included, for choosing to move on from Tom Brady, like you idiots for moving on and sticking with that MF-er as opposed to me. But the real team, we all know who he's talking about, that made the biggest mistake and dropped the ball in the biggest way was the New England Patriots. He's not on the market if the Patriots don't let him go. And even when it comes to Bill's precious little advertisement, which he's never in 20 years, what's he ever endorsed? Ever.
And he did the voiceover for that World War II thing, but I can't think of anything he endorsed.
I don't, yeah. Right, that's not really an endorsement, right? I mean, that's, you know, he's voiced over plenty of things, I guess, over the years. What's he ever endorsed? And so I don't want to say that Brady's eating into Bill Belichick's bottom line, because I think Bill has said before the money's going to charity, I think. So it's not like he's hurting Bill's bottom line or his earning potential or anything like that. But, oh, Bill, you want to get into the advertisement game? I'll show you how to move sandwiches. I'll show you how to move product. Like, Bill, maybe you can sell a couple of meatball subs in New England. Like, maybe you could sell an Italian BMT.
He was eating the Italian BMT
in, you know, New Hampshire. But I have nationwide broad. Let's see who can sell a sub. Let's see who can sell a sandwich. I'll move these things by the truckload. I'll move footlong after footlong after footlong. I'll show you who can sell these things. It's become that petty. It's become that much of a peeing contest. And look, the only thing I don't love about this story, because I love this story, is that Brady just doesn't come out and say it. He has to do it passive-aggressively and stick it to Bill in this manner, as opposed to, you know, really talking about the relationship any of the million times he's been asked about it. Howard Stern, Dax Shepard, any other interview that he's done, late night or whatever. Like, just tell us how the relationship is. Like, you know, just be honest. I'm not holding my breath and expecting him to do it. I just wish he would do that, as opposed to, you know, moving it on Bill's turf in the advertising game.
Yeah, although I do enjoy this, especially since, you know, he's not going to eat it. You know he doesn't eat it, and you know that everybody watching it who even has a cursory understanding of Tom Brady and what he's all about is going to be like, bleep you, you don't eat that. What are you doing? Get out of here, Brady. You don't eat that. But it's Tom Brady, so you're still going to be like, nah, that kind of looks good, though. That looks okay. I wonder if it's going to be like a signature sandwich, or he's just going to be advertising the brand or whatever. But
I had a buddy text me, it'll just be avocado.
Just avocado.
It's just like a pita pocket full of avocado. That's all it is. Yeah, it's the Tom Brady. Get yourself the Brady. Because, you know, he doesn't eat tomatoes or bread or processed meats. Or processed cheese, or, you know, really anything.
Fruit.
So it's just
not dragging it through the garden.
No, you will not be dragging it through the garden. There's no way. The garden, too many nightshades in there. So, no, yeah, it's just going to be straight up avocado, maybe not even in, like, a pita pocket.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just, they just hand you an avocado. You're like, here, you want the Tom Brady? Here you go. It's an avocado.
And that's it.
That's the bread.
Yeah, like the KC double dip. Remember the KFC thing where it's like the bread was two pieces of chicken?
Yeah, it's like a McMurray.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like a McMurray. Yeah, it's just avocado surrounded by more avocado.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of slices of avocado is the bread.
Sounds good.
With like an avocado dressing if you're really feeling fat that day.
Making me hungry now.
So anyway, Tom Brady, yes, is that petty. He's that petty about it that he will compromise all his other beliefs. Like, Florio, you're going to get there eventually. Don't worry. Like, five more posts about Brady being inconsistent on his diet, you'll get to the real story. Brady is willing to compromise all of it and throw it all out the window and be a big, giant hypocrite because he wants to stick it to Bill that badly. Let's see who can move some sandwiches. Oh, you think, Bill, you think you can move sandwiches? You can move them in New Hampshire and Maine and Massachusetts. Connecticut might be tough for you. I can move things nationwide. I can move things internationally. 617-779-0985. And again, you know, Bill, if you were a little nicer to him, maybe you wouldn't have to deal with this. Just like if you put your foot down a little bit more with Stephon Gilmore, I guess maybe that's inconsistent, right? I mean, you need to be nicer to Brady and sure. A little more strict with Stephon Gilmore. You know, maybe you got to find a middle ground in there. As I say that, I realize the inconsistency. But, you know, you let Stephon Gilmore run wild, which is ironic. You wouldn't let Brady run wild. You realize how much you need Stephon Gilmore that you baby him and make excuses for him. Whereas now you're just coming to realize that you miss Tom Brady too, and you never realized it while he was here, which is maybe the true irony in all of this.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Here we go. I need to jump this caller in line. We have people waiting to weigh in on the Patriots and Brady versus Bill with Subway commercials, but I need to jump Aluma in the car to the front of the line. Aluma, go ahead, please.
Christian, I do not want you to regret the decision you made. I was there. And I was present for the JNCO jeans, and it was a fashion statement. And I just want to say that as your friend from high school, I don't ever want you to regret that decision you made, because I liked it. I appreciated it. That's all I want to say to you.
Okay.
Aluma, thanks. And that is actually my friend Aluma. I went to high school with him. Aluma, you remember I had those jeans. I didn't wear them the whole year because I was kind of in bed. They were just, I don't know. I wasn't cool enough to pull it off. I wore them for a little while.
So what else
I retired him.
What else did he wear, Aluma? Did he have, like, is there anything else, like frosted tips or anything we need to know about?
No, he was cool. The JNCO jeans, though, he did wear it a couple times, and it was good. Uh-huh. I remember it covering his whole shoe. I remember that.
His whole what?
I do remember that, Christian.
Yeah, they go out over the shoes. Yeah, the JNCO jeans.
It goes over the shoes.
The pants would cover the shoes. I understand. Oh yeah, for sure.
The shoes.
Yeah, you don't want to see any shoes. No.
When
you're wearing JNCO jeans, you don't want to see any shoes.
Mm-mm.
So there you go. Confirmation that Arkan was I just heard cool in high school.
Now I don't know if that's true.
I got to go back and listen to that. I listened to the Wick interview yesterday because, you know, it sounds like he's trying to sell me on a little something that I just don't quite believe.
Yeah.
You know, so I do want to go back through that. But he said, okay, he didn't, no frosted tips.
I checked all the boxes in high school, you know. I was young, I was cool, I was all the, exactly.
JNCO, don't apologize for your JNCO face.
I was the Ime Udoka of my high
school. Arkan, just like Tom Brady doesn't need to apologize for his meatball marinara phase there at Subway. It's a dark time for all of us. You don't need to apologize for your JNCO jean face.
Okay, all right.
Okay?
I wasn't apologizing, I was just sort of reminiscing. And it's not one of those memories that you're all proud of, you know? It's not like, yeah, I wore JNCO jeans. I was cool. I was ahead of the curve. Like, no, it's like, I look like a dork.
But no, like everyone. Well, he did say it was like a cool thing to do, but like weren't a lot of people wearing JNCO jeans? I couldn't do it.
Like the cool skater kids and stuff.
I wanted to do it.
Like the emo kids.
Yeah,
the
no,
kids
no.
who like smoked cigarettes in high school. Like, no, you know, right. Like the cool kids.
Like I thought about buying JNCO jeans, and I'm like, man, how cool am I going to be if I buy these? And then I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
You, with the skateboards and the wallet chain.
You had the boldness. You had the boldness to do it.
Yeah, but I didn't have that. I was a poser. I didn't have the rest of it.
I mean, a bit of a follower, sure. But you had the boldness to try to pull that off. Yes.
Boldness to be a poser.
Yes.
That's me.
There's something different.
There's something to be said for that. 617-779-0985. Christian Arkan, and what are you wearing? Like in his tasteful tan shorts.
From JNCO to J. Crew, my friend.
Yes, exactly. Right, yeah. He's got all the latest here in your Hub headlines, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
In college, we would get these, we called them pizza cards. The football team had a deal with like Subway, and we had a place in Ann Arbor called the Cottage Inn. And then we go to Subway, and I would eat like 18 inches of sandwich, you know, at a time of meatball. And if I wasn't healthy, I was going only one slice of cheese all the way across instead of two slices. You know, and it's like, I look back now, and I'm like, I don't know how I did it.
Somewhere Dave O'Brien's like, yeah, go on.
Who is that laughing?
Go on.
Is that Dax's wife?
I don't know. No. That's not Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, no?
No, she's a treasure.
I don't know. I mean, that laugh.
Veronica Mars and Gossip Girl.
Fran Drescher.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
No, that's not Kristen Bell.
Okay.
No, she's... I do love their commercials, though, where they have, like, their... I don't know if it's LG or something like that. They're working with like their new refrigerator in the house.
Oh yeah, yeah.
New washer dryer. There's a cute couple of those two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I believe without knowing that, I was not prepared for that. That's the Dax Shepard podcast. There,
correct.
Brady's taken down 18 inches of Subway
of sandwich.
Yeah, get your mind out of the gutter of Subway.
He said of sandwich.
When he'd go to Subway. So that everyone reporting that he's never been incorrect. Incorrect. Now, maybe he had claimed that other times. It had been widely reported that Brady never experimented, but no. He confirmed a lot of experimentation going on at the University of Michigan. I mean, you said that sounds like Fran. It almost sounds like a woodpecker.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a woodpecker.
Like, who laughs like that?
I don't know. I'd love to know who else is on that podcast. It better. It might
like
be.
That can't be real.
It might be Fran Drescher.
Maybe. She's more like she sounds more like Lois Griffin. That wasn't as nasally as Fran Drescher, but it was definitely the same kind of cadence, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's Monica Padman, Kevin says.
Monica Padman.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Google away, Arkan. I hear you typing away over there. Google away. Monica Padman.
Monica Padman.
Uh-huh.
Best known for co-creating, co-hosting, and editing podcast Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. Okay. So that's what she does. That's what she's known for.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
So anyway. Best known for Fran Drescher style mating with a woodpecker laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Best known for that. So anyway, okay. Well, we now have confirmation. He's certainly eaten at a Subway. Ate well at a Subway. So while we're talking about all these Patriots items that are out there, the Gilmore holdout, Brady taking a victory lap. I do think the Gilmore stuff in particular, and even the absence of Brady. You know, ties back into this ranking that came out earlier today from ESPN, which teams have the best and worst rosters, ranking all 32, starting with the champs, which are not the Patriots. That'd be Tom Brady and the Bucs at the top. They have the number one roster in the NFL. Patriots all the way down at 18. 18! And they highlight, your strength. This offense is built to overpower teams in the run game. Great. Big, fat offensive line. Bunch of running backs, Cam Newton. Awesome. That's a strength of your team. Super useful in 2021.
Right.
Okay, so that's your strength. Your biggest
round
weakness,
and pound.
Your biggest weakness is they invested roughly $80 million in guaranteed money into their receiving core this year, but they are still missing a true number one, which I agree with. It's like, Hunter Henry, good. Jonnu Smith, fine. Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, if they're depth receivers, okay, I guess I get it. But you have a couple of tight ends that have never really produced at a high level, and Nelson Agholor is your number one, dropping a pass every other day down at minicamp. Like, I agree, that is a big weakness on this team. And then their X factor is Kyle Van Noy. But again, the bottom line is they have the Patriots coming in at 18. And I do wonder where the bullishness comes from Patriots fans. And maybe I'm off with this. Maybe this is a bit of a straw man by me. Maybe fans were immediately bullish and immediately excited when they went out and dumped a bunch of money in free agency on all these free agents,
right,
many of whom didn't deserve to be day one guys, like Jalen Mills and Davin Godshaw and Nelson Agholor, Anderson, like a lot of guys who you didn't need to sign on day one, but fans got excited by it. So maybe that was then and this is now, and fans are kind of wrapping their heads around the idea that this is a borderline playoff team. But if you didn't know it was the Patriots, and I told you that you had a middle-of-the-road roster, even if they're a little low at 18, let's say, the roster is closer to 14 or 15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're a little low, middle of the road roster, a middling roster with a giant question mark at quarterback.
Yeah.
And a coach who's never won a thing. I don't care what his boat says. Never won a thing without the greatest quarterback to ever lace him up. How would you feel about that team? You wouldn't be bullish on that team. You'd look at that team and go, maybe they're a playoff team. Maybe they're not. They're certainly not making any noise, and they're not worth getting all that excited about. And so I do wonder where the excitement, if there is any left out there, I do wonder where that excitement comes from with this team. Should they be better than last year? I guess, but not much. And I'm not convinced they're a playoff team. I'm even more convinced they're a playoff team than Arcan. I know, Arcan, you think definitively they're not a playoff team.
I don't think they are. I think there's too many good teams in the AFC. And I'd be interested in seeing, I'm not an ESPN insider, so I can't read the rest of that list, but I'd be interested in seeing what other AFC teams are ahead of them, because I could probably name like five or six right off the top of my head, including the Bills and the Dolphins in their own division. The Dolphins, who were a 10-win team last year, Pittsburgh's better, Baltimore, Cleveland, Tennessee, maybe the Colts, definitely the Chiefs. Like, it's going to be hard for them to climb that mountain and be a playoff team this year. I absolutely think that. And one big difference here this year, which you're sort of talking about with this roster and the way it's constructed, is almost every other incarnation of the Patriots over the last 20 years with Tom Brady, there was always a core. And it wasn't always a great core. Sometimes, you know, in the in between the two dynasties, you had kind of a weak core there as they reloaded, but they were still relevant. Now, your core just got bought and paid for. Like, you brought in a new core because your group of young players, your last five drafts have all been pretty lousy, and you just don't have enough talent and enough depth.
I knew what you meant.
To go forward. So I just sort of feel like, all right, you know, we've always had these pretty good cores of players through the draft or whatever, and now you don't have that, so you had to go out and spend all this money on it and bring in all these players who are getting paid just like any other free agent would be, but are coming to New England and are now expected to be the core. Like, you're now the core, Nelson Aguilar. You're now the core, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, everybody on the offense that they just brought in, because the offense last year was terrible. So now you have a core, but it's all new players, and it's all these guys who just got paid a lot of money. So I just sort of feel like all of this is very antithetical to the way the Patriots generally do business and the way that they've done it in the past, and that's largely their own fault.
Okay, what was your question again? Where the Patriots rank in the AFC?
Yeah, on that list.
What was your guess?
I would guess like eighth, maybe.
Okay,
is that right?
I believe, hang on, I guess Morgan did this as well. I was just trying to do it by shorthand, so let me see if I'm right. I see Kansas City, Cleveland, Buffalo, Baltimore, Denver, Tennessee, Indy, and Pittsburgh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Patriots would be ninth. Is that right? Ninth.
Okay, there's teams I wouldn't expect Denver to be ahead of them.
No, that's a surprising one.
Or the Dolphins not to be.
Chiefs 2, Cleveland. Well, we told you Tampa's 1, which is NFC, but still.
Right.
Stick that right in your craw. Tampa's 1, Kansas City 2, Cleveland 3, Buffalo 4, Baltimore 5. Next AFC team all the way down at 10, Denver, Tennessee 13, Indy 14, Pittsburgh 16, I think. I can't read my own handwriting. But yes, the Patriots would be ninth in the AFC. Like, I don't understand the bullishness. I don't.
I don't think they're a playoff team.
And maybe that's a straw man, as I said on my part. You know, maybe fans aren't as bullish as I'm making it seem. You don't have a quarterback. You have a middle-of-the-road roster, and your coach hasn't won squat without the greatest player ever to lace him up. Don't give me his boat name. 617-779-0985. I think this is why Stephon Gilmore knows he has the leverage. The team needs him a hell of a lot more than he needs them. Our buddy Josh is in Haverhill on the Pats. Go ahead, Josh.
Josh.
Hey, Jonesy and Arcan. I hope you guys are doing well. Few quick Patriots points. I think you guys are down on the Patriots a little too much right here. I think they're going to be a top five defense, especially if Gilmore plays ball. I think they should get him up to double digits at least.
But Josh, that's the whole point. What if he doesn't play ball or the team doesn't want to play ball? That's the whole point. That's exactly what we're talking about. Like, this roster has them, or this ranking has them 18th with Gilmore. What if they can't work that out? That's the whole thing we're talking about.
Yeah, and I also think you guys are expecting Bill Belichick to have a short leash with, maybe a long leash with Cam Newton. I think they should have a short leash with him, maybe two game trial, and that's it. You know, I don't think Mac
too long. I want Mac Jones to be starting week one. I think Brian Hoyer is here to be the backup in case Mac Jones beats out Cam Newton next month. And I don't want even a week or two. Never mind all the way until week four with the Tom Brady game.
You sound like one of the haters, John.
I know. I do. I know Cam Newton has a message to all the haters. But I think that'd be too long of a leash. 2 weeks too long. It should be Mac Jones week one. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your Patriots phone calls. And we do have to get to the Boston Red Sox. And a new nickname for the closer and a new leaf turned over by the announcer. We'll do all that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
So do I.
I'm talking about Breer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Trying to strike out the side here in the ninth inning. He got him to go. He struck him out. Vasquez tosses on. Matt Barnes is a nasty boy. He strikes out the side.
I don't care how many times I hear that. I'm not sure I'm going to totally get used to that unless Dave O'Brien really, really embraces his kinky side. I'm not sure if I'm ever really going to hear that and be completely comfortable with it until, you know, he makes me be comfortable with it, Arkin. Oh, you'll get comfortable with it. You nasty boys out
nasty
there.
Nasty boy.
Everybody's going to get real comfortable with it. That's right.
Or you'll be comfortable being uncomfortable, if you know what I mean.
So that was Dave O'Brien last night, and I would love to know, like, where that came from. I think that just what we heard is what happened, I think. We're on, you know, Arkin, I don't want to harp on this, but we were on the air last night until midnight, and then we were back here at 10 a.m. And so we were on the air while the game was happening, and it's not like I'm sitting here listening to the game with my feet up, enjoying my night. No. Grinding away on the air right back here at 10 a.m. Again, not that I want to harp on that. And, you know, I didn't hear the lead up. Like, what's the context? You know, everybody's real big on context these days. Like, what was the build up to that? Where did that come from? I need to know. Like, I don't want to know. I need to know. And I don't want to kink shame Dave O'Brien, Arkan, because that's the last thing we want to do here on this show. I'm not kink shaming anyone. I just want to know how did that come to be? That Dave O'Brien finally, after how many years has he been play-by-play? How long has Orsillo been gone? Like 5 years now?
Yeah, and he was on radio before that. So,
well, good point.
Yeah.
So after 5 years, he's finally, you know, undoing the buttons a little bit, letting his hair down, and taking off the glasses. And he's embracing who he really is on the air. I want to know what happened. I want to know why it took so long and why he's just doing this now. Because I think this is the real Dave O'Brien.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know. I mean, sometimes later in your life, you have an awakening, something like that.
Sure.
You don't realize it's something you're into until you realize that it is. And you know what? I applaud Dave O'Brien for letting the flag fly there on the broadcast last night.
Sure.
I think it's an important thing to do. It's, you know, it gives vision out there to everybody who may be thinking, you know, is it weird that I'm into this nasty stuff? No, it's not weird. Dave O'Brien, you know, same thing. It's
right.
All good.
Rex Ryan likes feet.
Yep.
Dave O'Brien, you know, into the nasty boy stuff. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You're a bad, bad boy. Somebody's a bad, bad boy. And, you know, that's fine, Arkans. Nothing wrong with that. Not going to kink shame. I just said earlier, I really want Dave O'Brien to lean into it. That's what I want. Like, I want this to be the new Dave O'Brien. And whether it's Matt Barnes out there or Matty Backpacks if you're nasty, whatever it is.
You want Remy to walk him into the studio on a leash every day?
Right. On like a dog collar, kind of walks him in. Yeah, exactly. You know, like Felger and McCone.
Right.
Yeah, that's I want him to lean into it. That's all. Just embrace it. This is who you are, Dave. After 5 years, you're finally letting us know. Loosen up those buttons, baby. As I believe the Pussycat Dolls once said, loosen up those buttons, baby. Let your hair down, right? Take those glasses off. Because we're in for a wild ride now. It's the ninth inning, and we are getting nasty boy Dave O'Brien. And I think that's what we want. If I'm being 100%, 1,000,000% honest, we'd like a little more personality out of you, Dave. So good. I'm happy. I'm happy you finally put yourself out there a little bit. Because that's what we're all missing with you, quite frankly. He's like a robot up there. That's what we're missing.
Yeah. Little edge. little sexiness.
If he's a robot, he'd be like the Osimo pleasure model from South Park.
Lame.
Weak.
You're like a fembot from Austin Powers.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, finally, he's letting us, letting a peek behind the curtain a little bit. And don't be uncomfortable with what you see. I just want him to, you know, maybe ratchet it up a little bit. That's all. You start with Nasty Boy, and then let's explore. Let's just see where it goes.
And if this takes off, maybe you'll see Joe Castiglione start trying to do a little bit of it too, you know? Oh, Raffy Devers. That was hot. That was the worst Joe Castiglione ever.
Swing and I can't stand up.
Ball two, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right. Maybe, yeah. Maybe you could start a whole thing, a whole movement here. So good. Good for Dave O'Brien. And I, again, I hope he's not embarrassed. I hope he's not ashamed. There's no reason to be embarrassed nor ashamed. As Arcan said, there are dozens of us. Dozens. And, yeah, I just hope that this is now his thing. You know, hockey broadcasters have all, like, these corny catchphrases that they do for every goal call.
Right.
You know? They have their corny calls. He can have his horny calls at the end of the game. Like, that's fine. I'm on board with it. I'm here for it, as the kids say.
Hey, put the biscuit in the basket. That could go both ways.
It can.
By the way, are you seeing this breaking news right now?
No. No, definitely not.
You see this,
T-Bone? I'm much too dug in on my Dave O'Brien. I'm much more interested in Dave O'Brien. Why? What's breaking news out there?
Bill Cosby's getting out of jail.
Oh, no, I definitely did not see
that. Yeah, they're overturning all of his convictions. He's getting let out of jail, and he can't be charged again. It's like blowing up Twitter right now.
Okay.
My whole Twitter feed is just pictures of Bill Cosby right now. Didn't think that would be happening.
No.
Sorry to throw this off track at the moment, but we're about to come to the top of the hour. I can't believe this. Bill Cosby had 60 accusers. How is this happening? This is unbelievable.
I don't know.
Wow.
Haven't read about it. I was too in Dave O'Brien world over there for the real world. So anyway, Arcan does have an update with the news of the day, news of the hour. We'll get back to your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Lottie waiting patiently on the Patriots. We'll get to your Patriots phone calls, and we'll also react to Wick Grosbeck, his appearance yesterday on Felger and Maz, where, I think he was a little tired of getting roughed up in the interview, and we'll get to that right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.